This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Here comes me! He's the pride of the place!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win! Brave win! Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Vance Dooley and a Georgia damn Bulldog, baby!
My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Drums, please.
I don't really like Florida, not whatsoever. I'm always a Gator hater.
One of the anthems of the Second String Podcast, man, especially this time of year, DJ Jazzy Jeff, the Fresh Prince. I'm sorry, that's DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
And DJ Jazzy Jeff is on tour with New Kids on the Block and Paula Abdul right now.
What?
Yes, he is.
That is 90s as 90s gets, my man. So say that again. DJ, what's his name? Jazzy Jeff. Does he have an actual actor's name? I'm sure he does.
I'm sure he has a Jeff.
But he's the guy that played the cousin or whatever over on Fresh Prince.
And he wasn't on that much, but the shtick was he was also, you know, touring with Will Smith at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you got – and his real name, by the way, is – boy, it doesn't even come up on Wikipedia right. Jeff Towns.
Over on the ref, I always have to write things down throughout the show that I've learned. Things we stumble upon throughout the show. And Dave will ask me, what did we learn today as we're signing off? And I got to give two or three things. That'd be on there.
Yeah.
Jeff Towns is DJ Jazzy Jeff.
He's from Philadelphia, just like Will Smith. So there you go.
Well, summertime settling in here really quick. We got to... Hopefully we stay focused on the Second String Podcast. We both have some vacations coming up here
good
pretty
luck.
Soon.
Yeah, right.
I think I've told this before. If not, I forget. But I'm heading up to Alaska,
man.
In just a couple of weeks, man. I'm taking a cruise up through the icy straits, the Great White North of Alaska, and I want to fight a grizzly bear. That's my goal.
You know, if you do fight a grizzly bear, we have mentioned this on the show before. Mm-hmm. We'll never see you again.
No, that's going to be the end.
Yeah,
I'm not winning that fight, but
no,
I'm going to go down swinging. Like, there will be a bear that limps around with one eye through Alaska for the next 30 years. He'll be a legend. I'll be a legend. It'll all kind of, you know, balance out a little
bit. It'll make national news, though. It definitely will.
You know what's been great, though, man, is, like, it's hot outside right now. We've had a little good run of low humidity here and there, so it's not been the worst summer so far, but we got a long way to go.
It's about to be. Logan, this weekend.
It's about to be hot.
High 90s for Father's Day weekend.
With high humidity.
Yeah.
That's what makes it even more unbearable. But what's been really nice, man, is, like, packing for Alaska. We've already started.
Okay.
We got my wife and I, we've been running errands, making sure we have this, making sure we have that.
Well,
like, I've got my warm clothes pulled out, and
yeah,
I love it.
I was going to ask you that. Like, you don't get to wear warm clothes that much in Georgia, some, but this is really warm clothes.
So I looked at the way too early forecast. We're stopping in places like Ketchikan, Talkeetna, Juneau. We're going to be stopping in some place called Icy Point, which is a little town on an island, some up there. I've looked at the forecast like the way too early. We're talking highs in like the low 60s.
Oh, not bad.
Some
not bad.
Sunshine. The evenings in the upper 40s to 50s. That's a typical like late winter, early spring day for us.
Yeah, so not too bad.
Now,
right.
When you're on top of a giant cruise boat and you're like looking out on the balcony, I expect the wind to be pretty chilly.
You're gonna need some winter clothes.
We're doing a lot of whale watching tours on these stops, so we're actually getting off the big boat and getting on a small boat and going all over the place and looking for animals. I imagine it's going to be chilly on the water there. A lot of spray, a lot of cold water hitting you in the face here and there. But we got the waterproof jackets. We got the waterproof pants. We got the warm socks, the gloves and the hats. But it's nice to pull out that kind of stuff when you're going to be sweating your you-know-what off here in Athens.
Man, you're going to be living high. I want to ask you this question now that you mentioned a whale. What would you rather stare down more, a grizzly bear or a whale? Because whales can be hard to deal with.
They can be, but I feel like I could whisper to a whale and we could be friends and like swim through the ocean together and just have a good life. Like the grizzly bear, I've got a vendetta against the bear.
What is your vendetta?
I don't even know. I have no idea. I just want to fight a grizzly bear. But no, I think I'm going to bond with the whale. In fact, most of the tours we go on, they say flat out, like, guaranteed to see a whale or your money back. Like,
that's
we're
great.
Gonna see whales. Like, that's gonna happen. I really want to see an orca, like, or killer whale, whatever you want to call it. I grew up going to SeaWorld. We would go.
I've been there too. Yeah,
we would vacation in Tampa every single summer. Not a timeshare, but went to the same condo. We rented from the same people every single year, just routine.
Yeah.
But when I was a little kid, this kind of went away as we got older, but we would take one day, head over to Orlando and do SeaWorld, maybe a SeaWorld Disney combo, something like that. Then we'd head back to the condo. But I loved watching these killer whales when I was a kid. In hindsight, I realize it's not exactly the most humane thing to put a giant whale like that in a pond.
As you're talking about that, I'm thinking, how are they getting in these aquariums?
I don't know. I know it's a rehab thing, but it's still sad when you think about it. And I don't even think they do that anymore, but I would love to see a killer whale in the wild, and I'm hoping that's going to happen. Mm. So, again, no guarantee, but we'll see.
And they're the size of buildings. Mm-hmm. Like, these whales are the size of skyscrapers, some
no
of them.
No kidding. So, no, I'm gonna bond with them. I'm going to fight the bear, point blank.
All right, so we got the clothes set. You got your animal hunt ready to go, even though it's not really much of a hunt. What else do you guys do on this trip? Obviously, you're going to be eating, and some of the foods in Alaska got to be great. I mean, that's wild game at its finest.
I would hope so. Most of the tours we're doing, the excursions, like the pay extra for, they do include what they call seafood lunch or a seafood whatever. I imagine a lot of salmon's going to be involved.
Yeah, salmon's good.
I imagine some crab, and I don't know if shrimp's really big up there or not, to be honest with you. I have no idea.
I've never heard of shrimp in Alaska, to be honest, and I'm wondering if it can actually live in that cold water. But
we'll figure
cold
it out.
Water shrimp, who knows?
Mm-hmm. We'll
okay,
see.
So
I'm excited, though, man. We're going to have some fun. We're going to record a couple of podcasts for y'all to listen, the cheeseheads to listen to while we're gone won't be as timely, but we'll get it figured out.
And after you're gone, I'm gone,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be back up in Pennsylvania. We love to take road trips when we go back to my parents, and they live in Pennsylvania, obviously. So we decided we're going to do some baseball games. We're going to go up to New York City because they're not too far.
Heck yeah.
It's a 2-hour drive, whatever. And we're going to go up to a Yankees game.
Nice.
Never been to any of that. All the years I've been to New York City for trips or just working up there, whatever, I've never been to a Yankees game.
Okay, you're from Pittsburgh, grew up a Pirates fan.
Right.
I'm bona fide Atlanta sports boy, love the Braves, love the Dogs, love the Falcons, love the Hawks, all these things. They're my team core.
Yeah.
We don't like the Yankees very much here.
No. And
what's your thought on the Yankees?
Here's the thing. I've never encountered the Yankees in my sports fandom. Mm-hmm. I've just never had, like the Pirates growing up, never played the Yankees. The Braves, yeah, of course they've played the Yankees in, the World Series and stuff. But as a whole, they're not a natural rival for the Braves. So it doesn't bother me. I know how New York fans are.
Mm-hmm.
They're sometimes they can act idiotic, but I just want to see what it's like.
They definitely can do that. So they did play in the World Series, the Yankees and the Pirates, all the way back, get this, the 1927, the most famous Yankees team of
That's
all.
That's right.
Beat the Pirates in the World Series, and they did it again in 1960. But, you know, even with those World Series games, let me see how many there are. Let me count real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games in the World Series, okay? Since the interleague play started back in 1997, this is actually one of the lowest I've seen. Do you realize the Pirates and the Yankees have only played 22 games total? Ever.
Since 1996.
That excludes the World Series.
Yeah, wow.
But yes, since interleague play started, it was 22 total games.
And you wonder
that's
why.
Whoa.
They're close in proximity compared to, you know, Yankees going all the way out to, you know, San Francisco or whatever. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. You'll like this. The Yankees have had the Pirates number in the Bronx, 13-3. But the Pirates have played the Yankees tough 9-8.
Okay.
In Pittsburgh. Now, some of those are World Series games, but 9-8 ever in Pittsburgh. It's not bad.
Hey, comparing the payrolls, Logan.
Exactly.
I mean the Pirates have a payroll kind of like, you know, whatever, you know, $30 million. That's all they're putting out a year, you know. So this is encouraging stuff, but that's what we're going to do. We'll catch a Pirate game, obviously, as well. They're playing, I think, the Cardinals when we're up there. So it'll be nice to check out, and we're going to plan to do that. And then I told you about, you know, our trip to Oakland to see the Athletic Stadium, you know, one more time. That's going to happen on
old
a weekend.
Relic.
Yeah, we won't miss any time, but it'll be on a weekend here right after that in July. So that's our summer.
Now, what ballparks can you name off the top of your head, major league ballparks that you've been to?
I can tell you right now.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, I've been to Chavez Ravine. I've been to
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers. I've been to the old Ranger Stadium, not to the new barn that they have up there.
Right.
I've been to, obviously, Truist and the Florida Marlins. And the Mets, the Phillies, the Pirates, Indians, the Reds, and Minnesota's state target.
Is Truist the only Braves stadium you've been to?
Turner Field.
So you went to two.
Yeah,
I count that as two.
Yeah, two out of three.
Did you go to Fulton County Stadium back in the day?
And I imagine when I went to Three River Stadium growing up as a kid, it was the same setup. Mm-hmm. You know, just that donut.
But have you been to both? Oh, so you've not been to Three Rivers.
Oh, no, I've been to Three Rivers.
You've been to the new Pirates.
Right, and I imagine Three Rivers was like Fulton County. There's not much. And I went to Veterans Stadium, when we're talking about donuts, you know,
if you've been to those, you went to Fulton County Stadium. My list is very short. All three Braves stadiums my lifetime. So Fulton County, Turner Field, Truist Park. I mentioned I used to vacation in Tampa with the folks growing up. In 97, I want to say it was 97, the very first year of interleague play, the Braves happened to be at the Rays while we were on vacation.
Nice.
And my dad was like, heck yeah, we're going to that thing. So we got tickets and went and saw the Braves play in Tropicana Field.
What's that like? I want to go to that field.
I don't have the beep button ready, but it's absolute total beep.
Is it?
It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. They're building a new one right now. At least they've got like all the approvals and the renditions. In the next few years, they'll finally get their new stadium in Tampa. But it's not made for baseball. It's a shell of what an old dome was. It's just crap.
But what was it made for? That's one of these things that always. Because it couldn't be football.
We're about to find out, Adam. We're going to search on air here.
One of those stadiums, and if you look at stadiums across the country that multi-purpose stadiums, or why are they playing a certain sport in that stadium? Tropicana always puzzled me because I've heard that from other people. Well, what was it made for? Because the Buccaneers have never played in there, which is odd, but they've never played in there.
So it was opened in 1990, originally called the Florida Suncoast Dome. The Tampa Bay Lightning actually played there for a little while.
Oh, the hockey team.
The hockey team did. It was just considered a multi-use indoor stadium. They had a lot of visions. I think they built it to hopefully attract things like the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, what surprises me about this is it was built in 1990, and the Rays started in 1998. So it was 98 when I was there for the game. But I didn't realize it was that new at the time. I thought this thing was built back in like the 70s, like the Astrodome type stadium. But
right, it looks older,
It's just been different things. And it's just total crap. It's poorly designed. It's just not nice. And it's just kind of falling apart too. But they're getting their new stadium pretty soon.
Wow. You know, looking at stadiums that are poorly, that are crap around the NFL too. I like nostalgia. I really do. And I miss that. And I'm sad to see some stadiums that are going to go away. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I've always wanted to go to. Just the atmosphere of the Bills fans. that is just rivals.
Get up there and see it.
Yeah, and I have my list, Logan. I've been to Kansas City, mm-hmm. to that old stadium up there, what is Arrowhead, and I love that. That's what I miss, and that's what I wish we had more of in Georgia. We have the Dogs. Truist is okay when the Braves are good, but if you've been to a Braves game lately, not the same. And, of course, you go to Mercedes-Benz, and you're not getting that.
The only other major league park I went to is Camden Yards. I got to go to
Baltimore. I've been
there,
too. Yes, I loved going to that stadium. I totally forgot about Camden
Yards. That was a cool stadium. I was at a sports conference when I was a student at Georgia. This is 10 years ago now, up in Washington. And we took an Amtrak up to Camden Yards after, like, the day's conference festivities and loved it. Had a great time. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the history behind that area is great. You know that the Orioles fans are up in arms right now, because they built a hotel that blocks the perfect view of the skyscrapers in Baltimore when you look out, and it looks like crap now.
Development always happens.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
Never going to stop, no doubt about it. But, yeah, I would like to see more ballparks. I admire you heading out to Oakland to go see that one more time.
One more time, man, and just to see what it was like. And I want to experience that, because now we go to stadiums, Logan, and it's they're cool. You look at the Nationals, the Phillies, the Cardinals, what they did with Busch Stadium. They all look pretty much the same, even the Braves. You got this area, and the stadium looks the same. I like the old school look, and that's kind of what I'm missing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we got the Braves are struggle bussing right now, though.
Yeah, they are. And
it's bad. It's offense. So the pitching is still pitching well. Like, there's nobody out there I have a problem with on the pitching mound right now. The injury to Strider sucks. We've talked about this every episode for the last four or five, is that you're just not going to replace him. But the offense has no excuse to be as bad as it is right now. And it's getting harder and harder to watch.
You know, Schwellenbach had a great game earlier this week against the Orioles. Mm-hmm. No offense.
No.
Two runs.
I think he looks good, by the way. I think he's got some stuff. Now, we were talking to Bill Shanks, who does Macon Radio. I would consider Shanks the biggest Braves expert that I know. I would trust any opinion, anything with the Braves, I would go to Bill first. He flat out says, like, Schwellenbach may have good stuff, but he's not ready for the major leagues right now. He needs to be playing for the Stripers. But right now the situation has him up with the big leagues, and he probably should use another year or so in Gwinnett to hone in on his stuff. And I think his future is very bright, but I don't expect good outings every time from Schwellenbach. But you may see some good stuff from time to time. But what's so maddening, like we said, is the offense is doing nothing. You've gone from averaging 6.5 runs a game last year to, like, just over 3 now. And that's terrible. And there's no excuse for it. There's no reason. And spare me the, oh, Acuna's out. He wasn't hitting either before he went down. So I don't know, man. Nobody has the answers. Nobody has even a good theory as to why they stink. But they stink.
And I watch some of the Braves, you know, TV updates and shows, and talking about, well, what's Kevin Seitzer doing differently, the batting coach? And I don't think he's doing anything differently. Obviously, he's going to have to do something different. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, down in Gwinnett this week, there are 4 to 5 coaches from the Braves in the dugout every game. There's only usually one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at some players. They got a guy this past homestand that played for the Guardians and one other team. I got to find his name. No one knew his name down there, obviously. They're bringing in some people. I think they need to find something.
What's your theory? Are they looking at Gwinnett players? Are they looking at players on other teams to kind of scout out a little
bit?
There's
two theories I have. One is they want to go after that guy from the White Sox, but we don't have any draft or capital to give them.
We got nothing.
So the next obvious thing is to trade for some players, see if we can catch fire, plug and play, because I think the Braves are in a tough spot, Logan. You know,
very tough.
You spent money. You can spend more, but they're not going to. They're not going to bring in. So you've given away your minor league system in terms of hitters. What do you got? You got Forrest Wall and Chadwick Trump and a 40-year-old Yuri Gurriel who's not going to do anything. He's not doing anything in AAA. So who else can come up as a bat?
Well,
you don't have anybody.
The answer may be nobody. And here's the thing that Braves fans, myself included, may have to just kind of come to grips with here, is that this may not be your year. You may not go for it like you thought you were going to. We entered this season thinking the Braves may be the best team in baseball. You have the roster and everybody to do it. You've had some bad luck and things aren't clicking right now. So eventually you may have to decide, we are who we are. We're going to play with what we have until the end and hopefully have better luck next year. It doesn't always require an Alex Anthopoulos, you know, magic magician move to go find that guy to lead us to the promised land like a Jock Peterson and a Jorge Soler and an Eddie Rosario. Sometimes you might just want to sit pat and say, it ain't our year. We're not going to finish great. We're not going to go to the, we're not going to, you know, be the best team in the playoffs. We might not even make the playoffs. I think we have to start coming to those grips right now and thinking, got to get healthy next year and make another run at it, but it may not happen this year.
And listen, the health is a big issue.
It's huge.
You had AJ Minter go on the 15 DL and things like that. That's going to, if you can't hit, that's going to wear those pitchers down to the point of, okay, now we got to make some big moves. And Charlie Morton, this might be it.
He's pitching fine. But he's at the end. I mean, I don't expect him next year. Right. I don't want to give him $20 million more.
Right.
At all. I don't know. We don't have the answers. Nobody does right now, and that's what's so frustrating. We'll come back and keep trying to find him, though. It's the Second String Podcast. Adam and Logan right here on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station. Because you had a bad day,
you take one down. Adam, you have been sent home from American Idol.
Man.
No more. This is where your road ends, brother.
I can't believe that show's still on, man.
That and Survivor.
Survivor's still on?
Oh, yeah. I actually like Survivor. I don't watch it as religiously as I used to, but I still very much enjoy that whole just put them on an island and let them figure it out.
Think about the shows that came after that of that nature. Mm. Naked and Afraid. That one was just...
I can't get into that one.
No, I don't like it.
Interesting concept. Yeah. No, I think Survivor was like the catalyst of all the reality boom. Back in the year 2000, I was a senior high school when Survivor came out, or I was going into my senior year. And I still just like it today, 24 years later. I think Survivor's a fine show. But yeah, there's been a lot since then for sure. The Amazing Race got big. Was Fear Factor pre or post Survivor?
Fear Factor was right after it, but it didn't last as long. But it was a great show.
Yeah, that was fun. I could never win it because of the eating. I can't do that.
No, not eating what
they ate. I would not survive the, okay, here's a live grub. Have at it. No, sir. I'm out. Yeah. I'm gone.
And Matt, those people did not throw up as much as I thought they would throw up. Like, I would be, Big Brother was another one that came out that I got into and then got out of.
Yeah, I never did the Big Brother.
It was weird. I just went into it.
You know, I can't even eat spaghetti because it looks like worms.
Thanks, man.
Isn't that weird?
Don't say that.
No, it's weird, man. Spaghetti. Like, I saw something as a kid of someone eating live worms on some weird show. I'm talking like in the 80s or something. And it scarred me. To this day, I cannot eat spaghetti because my mind goes to live worms. Yeah. I love noodles. I love sauce. I love cheese. It's all my favorite things. But I just can't eat that style of noodle.
So it's got to be a different style of noodle.
I can eat noodles. Love noodles. I just don't like this consistency of spaghetti.
Yeah.
Freaks me out. Anyway, the Braves stink, so we talk about spaghetti. That's all we can do at this point. And we're entering, I guess, the hottest, you know, longest portion of the year. Maybe we need the All-Star break to come and get a rest. I don't know. The Braves have the last few years caught a little fire after the All-Star break. But forgive me for not having the optimism to say, oh, it's coming, it's coming. I'm starting to realize that you're just going to have a bad day, like, and Daniel Powder just saying.
I know that we talk about the Phillies, you know, oh, they're you know, premature. And don't be saying that, Philly sportscasters, that they won the division already. But they have a huge lead. And what concerns me is right behind us, the Nationals are only three behind us.
And they beat us all the time.
And that's what concerning. It's like, Braves, you've got to stay in that wild card. Now, you are top wild card spot, but at the same time, that can change very quick. And what's happening with the Braves, they're not even putting any runs up. It'd be different if they were putting a bunch of runs up and these teams, they're not putting any runs up at all. So that's very concerning.
That's the problem.
With the roster they have. They have the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. If you look at them last year, they have five of the top players in the league.
That's what's maddening, Adam, is there's no answers. It's mystifying, and there's no way to figure out what's going on. I watch every night thinking tonight's the night the offense will click. It hasn't clicked, so I'm done like reserving that hope and optimism, and I just have no idea. We can talk about something a little better. even though it came to a bad end this past week, was the Georgia baseball team. In fact, we'll do a little bit of that on the other side. Got to hit that break. It is the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Second String Podcast, WGAU. Adam, at the time of recording this, we're doing this on a Thursday in the building. We are 79 days till the Georgia football season kicks off against Clemson over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. It's closer than we think, by the way. Like, I did this whole countdown thing over on the social media a couple days ago. Now that Georgia baseball, which I want to talk a little bit about in just a second, now that it's officially over, we can really start transitioning that mindset over to football season, because that's what's next. Like, we have the Braves, okay, we got Major League, don't get me wrong, but the next time we really get into a college sport, it's going to be for football, and that's not as far away as you think.
And as soon as you do your vacations and you count those down, on the other side of all of that, that's when you're really like, whoa, it's going to hit me in the face.
I do think about that a lot. I've got a long trip to Alaska coming up, which I'm not trying to humble brag, it's just the facts. I'm very excited about that.
It's big stuff.
Sometime in August, I hope to go to Utah for a week and see some family out there and do some epic hiking up in the Rocky Mountains. So I got a lot of good things happening, and hopefully you do too. Before we even get to that, like, end of summer. So that time will go by pretty quick. Let's see what we are today here, by the way. So as we're speaking, again, this is Thursday, so subtract a couple of days if you're listening to this on Friday or Saturday or somewhere after this. But here we go, Adam. We are today. I'm going to do this whole rundown real fast. I love the Phil Steele magazine. I love it. That is the Bible when it comes to getting ready for football season and all the just endless information that Dave and I use a lot on the morning show over on 960 The Ref. That thing hits shelves on the 4th of July, which is only 21 days away from now. 3 weeks from recording is the 4th of July, which means Phil Steele on the shelves. Oh, and 4th of July.
Of course.
That's kind of cool, too.
Yeah. You know, the SEC Media Days.
Mm-hmm. That was next, yeah.
That where is that?
That is in Dallas, Texas this year. First time ever going out there to welcome in Texas and Oklahoma. They're just going to do a big old shebang about that. That's July 15th. At recording, that is 32 days away.
That is so crazy that Dallas would host. When I worked in Dallas in radio, the Big 12 day, media days were big out there. And now that I guess Big 12 is either there or it's moved to, I don't want to say it's moved to Kansas, but for some, or Kansas City, but for some reason that's hitting me in the face. That's so weird to have Dallas included, that metro that is so vastly much bigger than Atlanta, is now included in the SEC when you have three schools out there that are in the SEC. And to be honest, you can throw Arkansas in the mix, even though they've been in the SEC for a while. Those are schools that are kind of removed from the rest of the pack. Are.
It'll feel normal at some point. Here's the thing, though. You don't have to keep, like, thinking, oh, you don't belong here for long. We're not done. We're gonna keep building. I think in 10 years, Adam, we're going to have two super conferences of, like, 24 teams in each conference. It's going to be the SEC. It's going to be the Big Ten. I think in very short time, the ACC is going to go the way of the Pac-12, and teams are going to jet for other things very quick. I think UNC, I think Virginia, I don't know who else. I'll just throw Clemson and Florida State. Throw them in there to the SEC. Others to the Big Ten. We're all going to dissolve this thing. So as weird as this seems now, and it does feel weird, I agree with you, it's all going to be just completely different in the next few years. You're going to have super conferences. You're going to have conference championship games that lead into the national championship. It's going to get bizarre, man.
You know, my question is, you know, with the SEC now, the East and West, there is no champion. It's straight first two teams.
Yeah, coming up this fall, no more conference, no more divisions.
No more divisions.
Think about this hypothetical with that real quick. So you're only going to take the two teams with the highest win percentage of conference games. They don't necessarily have to play each other. It's just, or even similar schedules. Whoever has the two highest win percentages, and there'll be a series of tiebreakers to get it down to the final two. How about this for a scenario, okay? Let's use Georgia and Florida as an example. Now, I don't expect this year. Florida's not going to be very good this year. Okay, that's the glory days. I don't like Florida very much, Adam. Neither does my man Nolan Smith.
I don't really like Florida. Not whatsoever. I'm always a Gator hater.
Thank you, Nolan. I hate Florida. But here's a hypothetical down the road. If they were to get better like we've seen them able to do in the 90s and 2000s, they can be a program that could be quite scary, actually. If Georgia and Florida remain on that trajectory, Georgia remains good. Check out how wild this could get. Georgia, Florida play in the cocktail party in Jacksonville like they always do at the end of October. Okay, that's game one. Without divisions, if Florida's really good and Georgia's really good, somebody's going to lose that game in Jacksonville, but they could absolutely play again in the SEC championship in Atlanta in December for game two. Here's where it gets even wilder. With a 12-team playoff, if you're two good teams in the SEC championship game, let's say only loss is whoever lost that game.
Yeah.
The other team's 12-0, the other one's 11-1. No matter who loses that SEC championship game, you're probably still going to be in that top 12. Okay, when you get 12 teams together, God knows what's going to happen. Could we play Florida three times in 1 year? The answer is mathematically yes. Probability's low, but the answer is yes. How crazy is that?
And that's more exciting than playing, and I don't know who Georgia has in terms of Vanderbilt or South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Are they playing that? I mean, that's not exciting anymore.
Well, they're not on the schedule right now, but we're going to start seeing them, you know, every once in a while.
So I think playing Florida three times is much better than having to play a Vanderbilt once.
And here's the thing about Vandy. I've got a hot take on this, is that I love Vandy on the schedule because we get to go to Nashville. If you're traveling, that's a great road trip, a really, really great road trip. I know they stink, but it's also a game you're, like, expected to win. You usually win. You win by a lot. I like Vandy, okay? And I get other people feel differently. You're more than welcome to. I like playing Vandy.
So tell me this, though. For teams like Vandy, let's put South Carolina in there. Let's go out west, Mississippi State. Where does that leave them? They have no shot. They don't have a shot now.
That's the thing.
But with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, gosh, they have even less of a shot now.
Do you know what they're doing, Adam? They're collecting $55 million a year from SEC TV money every single winter. They're fine, I promise you. They're okay. They will continue to make that money and invest it into their all their facilities and everything.
Right.
They'll eventually have a magical year now and then where they are better than expected. But, you know, winning championships is not for everybody. There's too many teams. So I don't want to feel like, oh, we got to bring more parity into the world. No, you're either good or you're not. I mean, do your thing or don't figure it out and just collect money in the process.
Right, and I see a lot of those teams doing that.
I don't feel sorry for Vanderbilt for not having a chance at a national championship. I mean, go figure it out. Go figure out a way to bring the best players to Vandy. We figured it out everywhere else. What was I going to say, though? Here's more crazy hypotheticals with the new SEC lack of divisions. I think we will see this in short time. I don't want to, but hear what I'm about to say. If Alabama's really good, if Auburn gets really good again, which we've seen, and then spurts have good years, do you realize they've lost five games or more seven straight seasons?
It doesn't surprise me.
No, and laugh about it all you can, because you know what they say about Auburn. Can't stand Auburn.
Yeah, right.
But here's a hypothetical. If they get good again and Alabama's good again, you get the Iron Bowl that Saturday after Thanksgiving, which will always happen no matter how much shuffling goes along in the SEC. Could you see the Iron Bowl 2 happening the very next week?
I think it'd be excellent.
You're talking 2 weeks, two games. You play them in the regular season, then you meet them again in the SEC championship. That's crazy. That's wild to think about.
It's going to change everything.
Could you see Texas and Texas A&M?
I would love to see that. I'd like to see Texas OU in the SEC now that they're SEC members.
So same exact situation. You could have a Texas A&M playing 1 week, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and then the very next week. You could hypothetically have a Kentucky versus Missouri SEC championship game. Now we're getting crazy.
Yes,
but
we are.
But everything is now possible is the point of all this. Georgia-Tennessee could play multiple times in a year. That was never possible before this. So this is spicing things up a lot. And again, it's two teams, okay? Two teams are going to have really good seasons, and they're going to beat up other teams, and they're going to be the ones represented. And I don't have that many years left, Adam, but I think we're going to see some crazy stuff over the next 30 to 40 years.
I think we are. And that begs now the question, to kind of put a bow on this, what do you, as we're sitting here in June,
see Georgia's chances of running the table, at least in the regular season, with the schedule they have this year.
Not high. Yeah. You got to accept that. I mean, here's the thing. You're going to Tuscaloosa. You're going to Austin. You're going to Ole Miss. Don't discount them, by the way. That's a really damn good football team this year. They did some stuff in the transfer portal, bringing in a Walter Nolan, best defensive lineman out of Texas A&M, brought in the best edge rusher from Florida, Prince. I can never say his last name, Anumini or something like that. Forgive me for butchering it. He's now at Ole Miss. The wide receiver from Tennessee went over to Ole Miss. They got some dudes. Mm. They got some really good dudes. A returning quarterback in Jackson Dart that I'm a believer in. I think he's really good.
Oh, he carved up Penn State in the Chick-fil-A. I went to that game.
He's a good quarterback, yeah. Man. And the one thing that stinks for them is Judkins. Quinshon Judkins left Ole Miss to go to Ohio State. Good for the Buckeyes, but I think Quinshon should have stayed around, man. I don't know why he left. I have no idea, and I hate that he did, but for them. But I don't not upset we don't have to play him. We may see him against Ohio State, though. But who knows? But there's some exciting things. But as far as Georgia running that table, all three of those games on the road, probably not going to happen. But here's where we need to adjust more mindset of Georgia football and college football. With a 12-team playoff, just get in.
Right.
Okay. You may lose two games in the regular season and all of your goals are still ahead of you. That's a weird mindset because we're so used to feeling like a loss to anybody at any time means the season is a wash. Like, oh, what are we going to do now? The season's over. This stinks. No, catch your breath and deal with it and deal with, you know, your family or your friends that are friends of the school that beat you talking all the trash in the world. That's what we do. But your season's not over. And that's weird.
And you could have a two-loss team that could win the national championship very easily.
Just get in and play your best football at the right time.
Yeah.
There's weird scenarios, too, if you want to keep unpacking how strange things can be. So we mentioned a moment ago the SEC championship. The top two teams are in all likelihood going to be in the playoff. I mean, in all likelihood, they're going to be top five, top six teams. Probably a number one, let's say, versus a number three or four or five or six nationally ranked team. That's going to be your SEC championship. The loser of that game is not going to fall under 12 after a championship weekend. I just don't see it. So the loser in all likelihood still in. Well, let's talk about the teams that are ranked 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Probably one or two of those are going to be SEC teams that are not playing in the SEC championship. They're sitting back pretty thinking, hey, we're in the playoff, baby. We're not exerting all of our energy, everything going into this SEC championship. We're resting up, getting healthy, and we're going to play in that opening round game just like the loser will.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in. That's right. What matters is that we're in. Did we fail to reach our goal of making the SEC championship game? Yes, we did. But we're in with a couple of losses sitting in the background just waiting for all the seeding to be finalized on championship weekend. So, and there's another, keep going. Let's keep adding this, Adam. The definition of the bye games, the opening round bye in the college football playoff, it says exactly the top five ranked conference champions. The top five ranked conference champions. If a number nine, let's just use a number nine Ole Miss, upsets number one Georgia in the SEC championship game, Georgia, with its only loss coming to that number nine Ole Miss. Okay, that's a bad example. Let's use a Texas A&M.
Right.
Random team. Texas A&M. That's not going to happen, but still. Texas A&M beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. Georgia, number one undefeated. A&M had two losses, but they beat Georgia. Guess what? Georgia's not a conference champion. They do not get eligible for the bye. Even if they're ranked number four, you do not get a bye because you're not a conference champion. Guess what A&M gets? A bye because they are a conference champion, and they may be ranked like number seven behind Georgia.
So
even after beating them,
I'm going down into the rabbit hole
here.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Your top five conference champions. Mm-hmm. You have your SEC, ACC, mm-hmm. Big Ten, mm-hmm. Big 12, and who is your fifth?
It's going to be a group of five.
Okay,
that's right. Why it's five. It used to be six, but with the Pac-12 dissolving, they reworded the rules. This is the College Football Playoffs Committee's guarantee that they'll be a member of a non-power conference in the playoff. That's what they did there.
I see.
They did that. So there'll be Mountain West, Sun Belt, American, the MAC, who am I missing here? Some other conferences out there that are usually not represented on a big stage.
Right, there's a lot of them, yeah.
They are guaranteed to have a ranked conference champion from one of those schools to join, in all likelihood, the champion of the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12.
Wow.
Makes sense?
Wow. What
this
a
is how shaken up we're getting
what
here,
a rodeo,
man.
Though. Yeah. I mean, it is a rodeo.
And we all know the opening round game, the teams that do not get that bye, is going to be a opening round on campus. Now, if you're in the top of those eight, I guess that'd be number 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds, they will host the number 9, 10, 11, and 12 seeds. There's going to be a situation in a sample size where Georgia's going to host a Penn State or a Michigan or a Southern Cal or a good team out there that's going to come to Athens. There's also going to be, in sample size, Georgia's going to have to go to Michigan or go to Southern Cal or go to something obscure even. You may have to go to Baylor. I mean, right. You may go somewhere random AF because that's the way it all shook out.
This is wild, yeah. Listening to this, because now I'm thinking bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Obviously, your New Year's Six or whatever you have is your typical playoff stuff.
Your playoff.
All of the other bowl games now, mm-hmm. Where does that leave them? Because you've got your playoff teams playing their games. Are they going to play another game?
No.
So
everything stays the same. In fact, that came out this week. The bowl schedule came out. There was very little shuffling in terms of what bowls are going to be, when and where. Some new sponsorships, whatever. But between December 14th and the 30th, the last bowl game is actually later than you may realize. You remember the Bahamas Bowl?
I used to
be early. That's now on January 4th.
Wow.
But that sounds like extreme, but that's like one of the very few shufflings that happen. Now, one thing that Dave was a little bit taken back by this, and we walked through it, the losers of that opening round of the playoffs, they're done. They do not get a bowl bid after that. You're either in the playoff or you're not.
Wow.
So trust me, any team out there would tell you we'd much rather be in the college football playoff than the Camellia Bowl, whatever.
Go down to Montgomery.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
When you play your playoff game and you lose, season over. Like, that's it. There's nothing left. And all these other bowl games, this is one of those problems that college football has right now. Oh, they mean nothing. Well, you're right. But a lot of these players still want to play in these things, I will still watch personally.
And, some of these bowls do a great job of taking care of the players. You go to the mm-hmm. Music City Bowl, the Cotton Bowl before it was a New Year's Six. They do so many great things for the players. Mm-hmm. It's a great experience for these guys.
It's good for college football, even if some of the best players don't play in it. That's something you just have to accept now. I mean, I don't know.
Wow.
There is talk, though, in the future when we get to this collective bargaining from the new age of college football, if that happens, where you can pay players directly from the schools, that may be worked into some of that collective bargaining contract, is the schools are going to say, if we're paying you all this money, your butt's going to be on a field for the bowl game,
or
you're going to be voided your money.
And I think that they should do that.
I agree.
That kind of cheats the fans and the mm-hmm. other players, too, that have, case in point, Florida State. Yeah. It cheats them out of a big-time win.
And what that does is it what you said is absolutely right, but it also allows the best of the best players, the guys that know they're going to be a top 10 draft pick, to say, I still don't want to risk it. I'm forfeiting my salary from the school, and I'm sitting out of this because I know I'm about to get a $40 million payday from the NFL. There will be a handful of those guys that will do that, but the majority will say, I'm not giving up my year salary from this school. You're darn right I'm playing in the bowl game to get it. Even if it is an exhibition game. And you may not play very hard, but whatever. The point is, we got some changes coming.
Mm.
So there you go, Adam. There's how crazy 2024 and beyond is getting for college football. Put me down as excited for it. I think it's great.
I think we've gotten to the point in college football, I don't want to say it's gotten stale, but maybe it has gotten a little stale the way mm-hmm. it's been done, and maybe it's time for this.
I agree. I like also that there's a lot more teams. My final thought on this, let's use Georgia Southern or Kennesaw State as an example. Let's use Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State about to join a
Conference USA.
There is a scenario in a four-team playoff right now, and this has happened, by the way. You could tell Kennesaw State, you could walk in their locker room Labor Day weekend, sit them all down and say, listen up, men, you're going to win every single game on your schedule by 20 points. You're going to be this amazing story, but your chances at making the playoff are about 0%. 0%. in the new world, you can tell those guys, go win every single game on your schedule and win that conference championship, and you have a path to the playoff. That's new, okay? There's a lot of teams that flat out had a 0% chance before the season ever started. This new format changes all of that.
That's exciting for them.
Absolutely. You've got something in the back of your mind, albeit unlikely, to have as a chance of happening. Cinderella movies happen all the time. Or stories.
And we'll have them. Yeah, we'll have them. Yeah.
We will. We'll get some over time. All right, Adam, we got to hit a break. We're running out of time, man. This is going by quick. Second String Podcast. We'll come back and wrap things up on the other side. We will mention Georgia baseball coming up. It is the Second String on WGAU.
I don't know, but I want to be a Georgia Bulldog football player.
You're listening to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
We're on our last break anyway. You know, we don't edit at the Second String. We're live,
no,
baby.
No, we're live.
Who's our special guest?
Hey,
what's going on?
My little boy Aspen here. Here, say hi. Say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Aspen, what's up, dude?
He came on the radio with us today at WNGC, you know, waking up at 3:30 a.m.
Nice. How was that? I bet that was early, man.
Man, was it hard to get up?
I don't think that mic works. Oh. You may have to swing.
Yeah, he says no.
That's okay. I got you.
But listen, you know, he wanted to experience it. Summer break, man. Going to work with Dad. Why not?
Aspen, we vicariously, that means wish we were you all summer long,
listen,
man.
He gets to do all this stuff, play PlayStation.
And his dad works for the Stripers.
That's right. He gets
that's
to go
pretty
out
pretty awesome
those.
Deal, man.
Man, big stuff in Athens, you know, this week. It's sad to see it come to an end.
It is. What a great ride, man. Unexpected is the word a lot of people use. That, yes, it ended kind of sour with that loss to NC State over at Foley Field, but in all seriousness, man, no one's upset about it. It was a great run. First-year coach Wes Johnson. What a good season by Charlie Condon. Historic. He'll end with, I think, 37 home runs this season, a new Georgia baseball record. 62 is a career, also a Georgia baseball record, and that's going to be a long time before that's topped. And what a blessing it was to have him and other players that are now done in the program, like a Corey Collins, Fernando Gonzalez, and others. It really feels like they ushered in this season a new era of Georgia baseball, and I'm giddy excited about what Coach Johnson is going to do these next few years. Got to get some pitching at him. That wound up being what kind of did you in, and no disrespect to any of the Georgia pitchers. You went out there and gave your all, but we were lacking those, like, elite college arms this year, and I think Coach Johnson will go get those guys in the next few season, and I think we're in for good stuff at Georgia.
You think we'll see anybody other than Charlie Condon get drafted?
There should be some names out there, maybe in the later rounds. I'm not sure who would like jump off. I think Fernando Gonzalez, the catcher, is going to be a solid professional catcher. It takes a long time and a lot to get to that MLB level. But I think he's on the path. Yeah. I think in time you may see him maybe work his way up to that level. And good for him if he does, man. But he gave his all here, man.
Catchers are a premium. You know, you look at what the Braves have had to go through. Mm-hmm. Catchers are definitely a premium now.
Yeah. So no bad feelings at all. Yeah, I'm sad it's over. I would have loved to watch some College World Series games coming up, but not going to be the Dogs this year. But, again, next spring, can't get here soon enough. A lot of changes coming to Foley Field. In fact, if you go by it now, they have already ripped out some of those stands. They're doing a lot of renovations and changes because they're 3 weeks late for a good reason.
I heard the construction guys were just waiting for them to be done.
Literally.
So they're adding more seats there? Is that what they're doing?
They're building a whole – I'd have to show you pictures of it. They're building a different features and a pitching lab under the stands.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff coming,
That's
lot of
great.
Changes.
That's
so
great.
We'll see. Adam, we got to do a show next week before vacations start kicking in. Aspen, thanks for popping in, man.
Say thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Give me a go Braves or a go Dogs, your choice.
Go Dogs!
That's what I'm talking. You're training them right, Adam.
Hey,
that's
10 years old.
About.
He's got it, you know.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Be back next week for another edition of The Second String right here on WGAU.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.